BC. So the whole team of creation is counting on us. It is full moon magic for necessary miracles time. So how wonderful to re-welcome Elaine Mayumi Whitefeather back from last week, because it was so pithy. And we welcome as well mythic and ancestral allies, Yemaya, Dame Ragnall, Marie Laveau, Octavia Butler, for mega story rewrite from dystopian to renaissance of reverent ingenuity. We're 19 days out. And then, Elaine, I have your whole, I'll just read a little bit of your bio, and you can amplify, sure. You know, but and for the whole full thing, which is so inspiring, you can go to Coyote Network News and read the bio from last week. But Elaine writes, the urgency of the moment, the world that is at a precipice of a grand transformation, we're gonna do that, has called me, Elaine, to join the hearts and hands of my sisters who also find themselves being called to act in this now moment. Whatever I can do, whatever I can offer, it is my giveaway at this important time. There can be no greater call for me to answer in this season of my life, says Elaine. Welcome, Elaine.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be back with you.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah, teammates, because the image Venus has just changed signs. She's at zero Sagittarius, whose image is agents of cultural transformation gather to reawaken old memories, joining together, camaraderie, storytelling, mythic recreation of past events, creating a sense of communal bonds through shared experience, rekindling the fires of inspiration. Yes, yes. And she's got a quincunx to the moon, having just moved into the sign of its exaltation, zero Taurus. So, well, I'll hand it to you, you know, because you said so many great things last week that we want to go into. But Venus in Sagittarius, syncretism. We are combined of many different heritages, you know, and it's got a sextile to Pluto. This Venus knows how to work with turbulent times, how to dance with demons, how to metabolize the Inquisition and her connection to the moon. She knows how to rebloom the earth, right? So you'd said, you know, we got to have a mixed woman now. That's what you'd said last week. It was so intriguing. Do you want to jump in on that?
I do. I'll see what I can weave together for us. The reason I say that is because, you know, and it's kind of amusing to me when people are looking for the candidate of change. I'm thinking it's kind of obvious right in front of you, the candidate for change. You know, like, I don't know what we're looking for in that. But the reason I say that we are at this place where it must be someone who even looks like change, who looks like this new paradigm, which is, in essence, the ending of duality, the ending of either or, this or that, right or wrong, black and white, black or white. It is a time where we are finding the and both, the we instead of the I, or the us and the them. And when you are, as I am, a person of many races, you understand that your parents, I look at my parents, whose love must have been so strong to make a choice to marry and create five children in 1950s in our world. You got to have some love that's big, really big, bigger than the fear of everything you're going to have to go through, your family, your children, and which represented my walk. And so I can think about the difficulties of being mixed race, or I can think about, wait, what kind of strength and resilience and depth of wisdom comes when I embrace all the parts of me rather than wanting to choose one or the other. Well, that's a little piece coming from my personal perspective of being multiracial. So when I think of this new birth of this new world, the end of an old patriarchal this or that, power and control, power and privilege, which then, you know, gives birth to all the classism, all the other isms. You have to when you are vying for power and control. This is the end of that paradigm. And of course, no one who's in power and control wants to give it up easily. But what confounds some mechanisms of fear like that, mechanisms of those addicted, and I will use that word consciously, addicted to power and control, is when you have someone who does not play that same game. And you cannot when you are mixed race. You can't pick one or the other. You must pick both. You must be able to see both. I see both of my parents in me, and I don't look like either of them. I look like the combination of both of them and all my ancestors, and all of the stories that come together gives me this perspective where I can't just see one slice of the pie. Given my own journey, I look at Kamala and I think about what the ancestors must have conjured up in this power of love to have created this human being who is going to be the symbol of East meets West, which in our indigenous way of looking at the medicine wheel is east to west, which is the path of spirit, is the path of your ancestors, and not think that this is not a divine moment that is exactly what has been prophesied when we look at and the birth of, when we're looking at the death of the patriarchy, we're looking at the birth of the divine feminine. The divine feminine. And when you look at Kamala, not as just even the person, but her way of being, you see it is a combination. It's why she can stand in the center. It's why she can see all points of view and validate all of them and take them all under advisement to find a higher, more elevated answer. That'll be her journey. But we as a human tribe, as a planet, as a globe, as a cosmos, we have come to an end. We came to that end in 2012, and we are midway through this transitional time where our humanity is moving from an us and them to a we, from just a separated, isolated, competing nations into one giant global beloved community. And I know that sounds all, you know, utopian and such a fantasy, but I am telling you that those are the stories of our ancestors, yours, mine, everyone's, if we were to be able to access that and give validity and relevance to it, we would understand that this moment in time is the most amazing moment. And it is just fascinating to me, everything that's happening, because her existence brings out everything that needs to be healed. Her existence brings out everything we want and love and desire. Her existence helps us see both our shadow and our light, and we can choose then the path we want to walk. We get to choose this now, Carol. We haven't had a choice before. We get to choose it now. It's our critical choice. Do you understand? Like, the Creator gave only one magical power to two-leggeds. And otherwise, we are created the same as everything else. And everything else can only be itself. That's why it never competes with anything else. But we do, because we were given the one superpower that we are supposed to learn how to master. And that superpower is the power of our free will choice. It is before us right now.
Yes, yes, yes,
and
we do.
And we've got to take hold of it. Every one of us, each one by one, not like a party, not like, oh, this group or that. No, you. It's going to come down to you, inside you, which is the path you will choose, which is the world you want in, not who, which is the world you want somebody else to make for you. Oh, no, 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 no. You were given the same power inside, potential inside. And what I love about Kamala is she speaks that into the wind and into the minds and the hearts and the spirits of people. And that's what she did. She just awakened what is already in us.
So I'm going to introduce Dame Ragnall. It won't take too long, but you know, there's a saying, the ancestors have sent us to complete their work. And we think of all of our ancestors. And my dad, who long before I was born was a New Deal congressman. And I found out after he died, that he was a big fan of Fighting Bob La Follette, who was a prairie populist who was Republican in Wisconsin who, you know, implemented many of the programs that FDR then put into the New Deal. So we call upon them. But I also, with your permission, this is just part of my beloved repertoire. It's a time of retelling stories, and by retelling them, we bring them alive. And this seems so very you. So at the heart of the Grail legend, you know, is the tale of Dame Ragnall. So this, people devote their whole lives to this. I will do a succinct telling. So Arthur's hunting, and he wounds a deer that wanders into a thicket, and he unstraps his sword to wander in after it, where he finds an old enemy, a real estate deal gone bad, curiously, you know, and his enemy says, "Now I'm going to kill you." And Arthur says, "Look, I'm unarmed. That would be most unchivalrous." And his enemy says, "You're right. Okay, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give you a year to answer a question, and I will reappear in court. And if you have the right answer to the question, I will spare your life. And if you don't, I will cut off your head in court." And Arthur says, "Oh, more than generous. That's really wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much. What's the question?" And his enemy says, "The question is, what do women want?" And Arthur's like, "Oh, okay." So all year, he's talking to midwives and herbalists and people, and has giant burlap sacks full of answers, and he knows it's not quite it. And time is running out when into court rides Dame Ragnall, and she smells like the sea at low tide, and she has enormous tusks, and she's just way funky. And she says to Arthur, "I have the answer that will save your life." And he's like, "Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much." She goes, "Not so fast. In return, I will marry your nephew, Sir Gawain, the handsomest man in court." And Gawain says, "Well, that's tough. That's tough, uncle. But, you know, maybe we'll find an answer somewhere else. But I'm willing. I'm willing." So Arthur pours out all of the burlap sack of answers that he has, and his enemy is sharpening his sword. Nope, nope, nope. When finally all he has is the answer that Dame Ragnall gave to him, which he whispers in his enemy's ear. And his enemy says, "Oh, no," and goes away. So Guinevere thinks a small wedding would be nice, but Dame Ragnall will have none of it and insists on a huge, lavish banquet in which she devours entire boars, and grease is running down her chin, and you know, all the maidens of the court, all of whom Gawain has slept with, are like, "Oh, poor Gawain, oh no, okay." So they retire to the wedding chamber, and they're in bed. And Ragnall says to Gawain, "How about a little kiss, sweetie?" And he summons all of his chivalry, and he says, "Nay, I will do more than kiss." And he turns to her, and he sees she's the most beautiful woman he's ever seen in his life. And she says, "Your kindness, your chivalry, has half released me from this spell. And here's the deal. I can be beautiful as I truly am half of the time, either during the day with you in court or alone with you at night. Which do you choose, my liege?" And he goes, "Oh, my goodness," on the one hand and the other. And then he says, "It is too great a choice, madam. You choose." And she says, "You have completely released me from the spell, because what woman wants most in all the world is sovereignty. Sovereignty given, sovereignty returned again, and sovereignty spiraled out into the world." And it said that they made love time out of mind, causing the court to wonder what the hell happened there. Anyway, people love this story. Ananda Kumaraswamy says Dame Ragnall is the earth in her funkiest thing. You know, the low tide, the vajra, and you got to kiss her. The king must wed the land, right? So I just want to, isn't that a great story?
That is an awesome story. And so,
right.
This is so great. Because such an awesome story.
You know, from our last week and our ongoing and your dedication, you go, you know, it is before us to choose the path that opens the door towards sovereignty. And it had to be a mixed race woman, right? It had to be a kind of Dame Ragnall figure, you know, truly beautiful, but disguised as a, you know, funky thing. So.
And I think, don't you think that that's the pushback that they're giving her right now? It's because to them, she seems funky. She's not understandable. She can't fit into a something they want to, they can't even judge her right. They can't even judge her
right. Yeah, so we are 19 days out, and Jimmy Carter just voted. at the age of 100, right? And Jimmy Carter is such a good human. I played a great thing to my different councils. It's Bob Dylan saying an homage to Jimmy Carter, going, he's amazing, he's many things, he's a nuclear scientist, he's this thing. And then a clip of Jimmy saying, it comes to all of us to just make a decision about the kind of person we want to be. We go, thank you, Jimmy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So this is this is Kamala's full moon. This is the full moon that she was born under. Just now, this full moon, Sun in Libra, Moon in Aries, she was born at the exact full moon, right? So there's a mythic component, at work. And then I wanted to put before the team, right? I have these different councils, and I'm running it by them too. But here we go. Let me put it on our work table. And in tradition, when you do a visualization, it's for your sort of small esoteric group, and you want to keep it private until it happens. But hey, time is short. We're 19 days out. So here for everybody to lend your suspend whatever's in the way of envisioning this. So somebody on Facebook had typed a long astrology thing, and somebody else had said, well, how does the genocide of Palestinians fit into the current astrology? And the poster said, oh, I've already covered that, it's blah, blah. And it's like, no, let me step in here. Venus in Scorpio, she's just entered Sagittarius. Her image is Inca princess pleads for the life of her children. She's opposite Uranus. So the Venus in Scorpio, now Sagittarius, the mixed race woman, part of all of us, regardless of age, race, gender, is a liberator. And I go, Uranus, trickster genius, is retrograding back to station at 23 plus Taurus. That's your moon and Venus, Elaine, and that's Israel's sun, 23 Taurus. And we go, oh, it's part of the mystery that, for instance, well, we'll get to Octavia Butler and everything. Octavia Butler's Uranus is on top of the former guy's son, so she can liberate us from him. But bad people have good things, good parts of their chart, but it behooves us. So you are in the Department of Redemption of Israel, Elaine, somehow. And what does it mean that the principle of liberating equality with the earth is dancing with the state? It's dancing with all humans, all beings equal. It has a creative relationship to Neptune, stationing exactly trining Biden's sun. Neptune's 27 Pisces, Biden's sun is 27 Scorpio, whose image is King of the Fairies, returns to his domain. There's a magical Celtic part of him that is way out of line with the cruelty and oblivion that he has displayed. So, team, let's envision necessary miracles before the election, 19 days. Let's see Joe Biden binding Bibi, ceasefire, hostages released. All the hostages that have been released thus far are Biden's doing. He had to argue with Bibi about it. Bibi doesn't give a fig about the hostages. Palestinian state established, global relief pouring in. And I think all people who've ever attended festivals, Burning Man, report into Gaza to rebuild and put stage and food and things, and all the people showing up in North Carolina, that same spirit show up in Gaza. After the election, Biden releases Leonard Peltier. The current Israeli government collapses under the Uranus station. End of January into February, Israeli population liberated from toxic trance agrees. Chosen people is an immature, grotesque, outworn cartoon that they toss into Pluto's cauldron of oblivion. Grieving rituals across all borders arise, allowing stewardship of land and regenerative farming to replace the superstitious bloodletting of cruel carnage that we can't afford anymore. We got stuff to do. Bibi and Trumpel-Stiltskin go to prison and or memory care facility. Pluto enters Aquarius for the next 24 years on November 19th. It's the day of the Gettysburg Address. All right. Pluto grabs a copy of the Gettysburg Address to take with him. That government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And we evolve it into government of the earth, by the earth, for the earth, ushers in a global renaissance of reverent ingenuity. A blue wave sweeps America, washing away the jackboot of tyranny from nature's jugular. Sanity and kind kinship prevail. Also honoring another great thing that Abe Lincoln said, I care not for any man's religion whose dog and cat are not the better for it. Anyway, that's... Is that a fun thing to, well, or whatever it is, maybe?
Violent, it's a fun thing, it's a light thing, it's a soul thing, and I think it's a true thing.
Let's do it.
I think that that's exactly what we must envision. And I think that for us as human beings, and for all of us two-legged, we have not used the second most important power given to us, superpower, and that is the power of imagination. One of the reasons the old paradigm had to destroy our intuitive knowing, our power of imagination, and our compassionate heart. Those are the three things that are natural to all human beings, and that is what is being reborn, resurrected, and each of us makes that choice for who we truly are, not who we had to become. So we need to envision this. This is not crazy. This is not far-fetched. This is, I don't know, spiritual cosmic justice in many ways. It is we, the people, taking our 100% responsibility for the world we want to see and for everyone who is suffering in with compassionate understanding for the great suffering of the Palestinian people, the Sudanese people, the people who are hurting all over our globe at the hands of cruelty, at the hand of a closed heart. Do not lose heart. Don't lose your heart. The fear callers want you to make this be a reason why you will silence your voice. And you will not vote for this vision. We need it to be now. Yes, we needed it to be 1,000 years ago, too. But we are on the path. If we will choose it, enough of us will choose it, we'll tip the scales, you know? We can be the 100th one that changes behavior across the globe. We got to take it back from one person and take back your own. And along with it, as Kamala says, we got a duty that goes along with this privilege. And that is to vote for that path that gives us the chance for this vision to come true. And this vision is practical. I think it's practical. I think we got to have like real tangible things that we want to see happen. And if everyone, I'm telling you, we don't need like 100% of everybody. Can we get 51, 51, 49? That's a majority. 51, 49%. Just
up
work
for
on
it.
This vision.
Experiment, experiment. And then
come
just
on,
as a
what you got to lose.
Well, right, and then just to dance with the intelligences that reside within us and connect to the world, you know, Johannes reminds us, you know, that expectation is the partner of disappointment. But willingness is the dance partner of life. So, as we envision this desirable miracle, not with expectation, but with we're willing. We're willing to engage all the forces of the earth and of nature, you know, to see this, you know, and even what's called the architect of October 7th, you know, but the head of Hamas was killed. And on one hand, I thought, oh, well, Bibi's, you know, going to want to keep going. He says the war is not over, but we want to see Biden going, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it's on the altar of the done, Biden. It's on the altar of the done.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. Bring up the altar of the done. It's on the altar of the done.
Yeah.
And again, it's our capacity. We have quintiles. We have quintiles between Ceres, Demeter, and Neptune. You know, on behalf of the Earth, you know, we can open portals between worlds. And we call on Octavia Butler for story rewrite, and she gives us a wonderful thing, and she gives to the Joe Biden part of all of us, what the hell, and us too, because the image for Octavia's Mercury is a mantle of power thrown over the right shoulder. And we go, all right, let's put this around Joe. Let's put this around all of ourselves. It's a really great Sabian. It's assuming the mantle of responsibility, feeling the descent of powerful energies, having things, you know, heeding a call, cape-like flair, cloaking secrecy. It's like, all right, you can keep it a secret until, you know, until it's a done deal, you know, right before the election or enough time to open the portals for those who understandably going, I can't vote for Kamala because of Palestinian genocide. And we go, no, we're going to open those portals, right? And Kamala's not Biden, different policies, you know. Arab American groups have been meeting with her, say, we can work with her. what you'd said last week, again, you know, choose the door that's open as opposed to the door that's closed. And this goes on forever. And then negotiate and teamwork and pressure and all those things, but to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. So we whisper in Joe's ear, you know, it is your soul calling. This is the right thing to do. It doesn't make up for the horror and the, you know, you not seeing the children and families and things and the horrible destruction and the ongoing now in Lebanon and noble good people burned alive. We've seen this, but it's a time to step in now, and you owe it to Palestinians, you owe it to Israelis, you owe it to the earth. You owe it to us.
And you owe it to yourself.
You owe it to yourself. You owe it to Kamala and Tim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You owe it. It is the last thing you can do. This is your legacy. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes, you know, you're part of the old paradigm that has a heart. Right? You're part of the old paradigm that has a heart. That's the evolution of 2,000 years of an old white guy. Right? And so if you understand that you must be the one to liberate. That's what you did when you passed the torch. You gave liberation an opportunity. And now, Joe Biden, this is your legacy. You are the one who says to the world, enough.
Enough.
No more suffering. And I say, how do we honor all of the souls and the lives that are gone? We change course. We say, we hear you, we feel you. Every gunshot victim, every victim of this awful war, everywhere, we say, we see you, we hear you, we feel you. You made a difference. And Joe Biden, you have a great heart. Now let this suffering enter your heart and call upon that same Mother Mary that you call upon all the time to get you through every tragedy. You can change your own loss, and we can change the losses we have had, but you, Joe Biden, can prevent any future losses and give Kamala a chance to take the torch and carve and trailblaze for us a way we have never gone before. And I say to everybody, all the people, now we hear you, and we're going to keep telling and saying it in prayer, as you say, whispering in Joe's ear, in his heart. And now we must decide that that is so, and that expectation, we can elevate it from a wishful expectation to a willingness and an intentional willingness for it to happen.
Yes,
so we expect it to happen because we have a willingness and an intention and a divine right to patches.
I do like throwing expectation. I'm sorry. Okay, never mind. Didn't mean to talk over you. But I do like throwing expectation.
The last thing to the people is that you keep expecting bad things to happen. Then if you want to use the word, then why don't you expect just 50% of the time, right, something good to happen too?
Fair enough. Right. I do like throwing expectation into the cauldron. But everything has its redemptive purpose, which you've just ladled it out and given it some nobility. You know. So yes. And then we're going to our break music is dusting off from ancient, Starhawk and a song called "The Burning Times" that I only found out was written by a wonderful human, Charlie Murphy, who was a friend and again at Hollyhock and was a great mentor to many people and troubled youth as well. So it's a noble song, and it presents to us what is before us, which is the Inquisition, and it ties it to the earth, right, and Dame Ragnall. And then we'll come back after that and dive back in with Elaine Mayomi Whitefeather into the opportunities that we have earned that are before us to participate. So here's "The Burning Times."
In the cool of the evening, they used to gather near the stars in the middle circle near an old oak tree. At the times appointed by the seasons of the year and the phases of the moon, in the center stood a woman, equal with the others and respected for her worth. One of the many we call the witches, the healers and the teachers of the wisdom of the earth. And the people grew through the knowledge she gave them, herbs to heal their bodies, spells to make their spirits whole. Can't you hear them chanting healing incantations, calling forth the wise ones, celebrating in dance and song? As the star today, Anna, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis the star today, Anna, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis the star today, Anna, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. And the ghosts came to power through domination, and they bonded in the worship of a dead man on a cross. They sought control of the common people by demanding allegiance to the Church of Rome. And the Pope declared an inquisition. It was war against the women, whose power they feared. In this holocaust against the nature people, 9 million European women died. And the tale is told of those who by the hundreds, holding together, chose their death in the sea, while chanting the praises of the mother goddess, a refusal of betrayal, women were dying to be free.
Well, there we have that. Thank you, Charlie Murphy, who wrote that song so long ago. Yeah. And it was hopping up and down. It's good, right?
Yes, it's relevant.
Yeah, it's really relevant. It's really relevant. And then to and fro, my fabulous guest is Elaine Mayumi Whitefeather from last week. Here we are again, because there was so much pith to be explored. And then, as I said to you backstage, when we began the show, what was rising in the East is 19 plus Capricorn, I love that degree. Its image is a hidden choir is singing. And I had one real experience of that when a wonderful accomplice, ally, friend of mine, a great drummer, died tragically, Shima. His teacher, Baba Otunji, and many great drummers came from Nigeria to drum at Shima's funeral. And there was great drumming. And then they stopped. And we could all hear drumming coming from somewhere else. And every year I ask his widow, like, this really happened, right, Jackie? And she goes, oh, yeah. And remember, there was chanting in a language that no one knew. It's like, ooh. So we invite Charlie Murphy. We invite the ancestors. We invite Shima. We invite Baba Olatunji. We invite, you know, Dame Ragnall, mythic figures as well as literal. We invite Marie Laveau. We invite Octavia Butler, right? The hidden choir is singing, and it's like, and it's Capricorn. It says, this is completely practical, right? You know, and
yeah,
and Ceres.
It's a practical, yes.
Right. It's the most practical part of us is our is we're on a mission, you know, to do this thing.
Yeah.
That's why we want to kind of weave many stories into play. So we inhale it back from the imprisoning frame narratives of any orthodoxy, you know. You know, any of the news people, you know, the pundits, the whatever, or any old story, or like, you know, or any objections, impediments to voting, going, those are, you know, shed those stories and invite in the many, many stories that are operative. And I've done, you know, a lot, you know, people operate on many, many levels. Whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. And with Obama, you know, we would gather, I'd gather with, you know, many people in code pink outside the White House, you know, but I always brought his chart and a little bit of South African muti. And every time I would hold up his chart and blow the muti and go, he would step outside. And I go, people are mythologically responsive. We're all befoibled. We're all befoibled. You know, we need everyone to maintain our moral integrity. It's a community effort. But, and then I ran into these women from a nonprofit operating in Africa, and they said, yeah, no, Obama operates in the dream world. When he won the Nobel Prize for Peace, which many people were grumpy about, but he discreetly, nobody knew, he gave all of that money to us. And that night, every member of our board engaged in childhood education, elimination of poverty in Africa, dreamed of him. We had the same dream. He came and sat with us. And it's like people operate on many, many levels, like decolonize ourselves to operate in fullness, not any narrow form. You know, it's a deconditioning time going, ooh, entertain possibilities, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. You know, it's kind of part of that dynamic. And what you'd said last week, Elaine, you know, I'd said some people are like, you know, you think Kamala's going to save you. It's like, no. I think you know, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. I think, you know, teammates work it. And, you know, you said Kamala represents the beginning of a new world, you know, symbolic as well as literal, and we hold people to their highest thing. But you said she's not going to save us, but she's a symbol of us saving ourselves.
I like that. Absolutely. I wanted to weave two things that you said. Number one, when you talk about our ancestral connections and prayers, and those of us who move beyond the 23andMe and Ancestry.com, though I do encourage people to actually find out about themselves. And so there's a place for science, you know, and everything. However, there's this wonderful prayer, this ancestral prayer, that I have no idea whose ancestor this is that makes the prayer, because the author is anonymous, which I think is marvelous. And that prayer is one I learned a lot, like 3 or 4 decades ago, from some of the elders I was learning from, who wanted me to understand the walk of ancestors. And she told me this prayer and directed me actually use it as a rites of passage for myself. And the prayer is very simple. It says, may she be the one. May he be the one. May they be the ones that bring forward the good, the true, and the beautiful. May they be the ones. May she be the one. May he be the one. May they be the ones that breaks the harmful family patterns and brings forward the best of our ancestral heritage. May they be the one. And grandmother said to me, when you decide that you wish to be the one, that you're going to do that, you're not going to just live unconsciously the patterns, the generational patterns of abuse or trauma or hatred or judgment or any of the things that have bound us all. When you decide that this is your day to seek your path of sovereignty, you go out into the night sky and look at the stars, which we call campfires, and you raise your hands to them, because we burn our campfires for you every night. And we say that prayer, and you speak back to us, and you say, yes, grandmothers, may I be that one. May I be the one that brings forward the good, the true, and the beautiful. May I be the one that breaks the harmful family patterns and brings forward the best of our ancestral heritage. And so I did that. I felt that. I did that on one full moon. And I spoke to my ancestors, my grandmothers and elders of all four winds. And to this day, that's who I sit with always. It's how I begin everything. But it is also how I know it is all here now. The above world and the below world are all here to help us all. And if you understand that, then you understand that you are understood and known for all the times you have walked upon this earth. And you yourself are an answer to a prayer, even as they become an answer to your prayers. And so I weave that first part of the ancestors. And so I invite everyone. We have a full moon tonight. It's a wonderful time to sit and talk to your grandmothers and the old ones. The second part, when we speak about the sovereignty and you speak about decolonizing ourselves, is the first step of sovereignty. And so Ellie Painted Crow and I were having a conversation the other day around sovereignty. And I said, first thing is you got to have sovereignty of your own mind. And so right now, when we're asking you to look at 19 days toward this election, are these thoughts and beliefs your own mind? Or are they the greater wisdom of your ancestors who have learned and taught us to make wiser choices based on the failures of our mistakes before? Huh? Based on the failures. We're not born wise. We get that way from many mistakes if we are willing to learn from them. And so that's why I think your vision of Biden is this moment. Your vision of now, just as you've been helping Obibi try to learn from our mistakes, learn, and you learn from this one now, and be the wise old elder. And I really feel all of his ancestors right there saying, may he be the one. And saying to Kamala, may she be the one. And equally, I see them both say, yes, may I be the one. And so I say that to us all. Maybe tonight you'll go out there and you'll say, may I be the one. Because it is aligned with my vision of tomorrow for our America. It is aligned for because of my heart and my compassionate understanding for how I want to live in this world. And so let me be the one. And if you don't want to go run for office and go do it that way, you can at least envision this world, this practical world we want to live in, because it is ours, we the people. It is ours. It is our gift. It is our blessing. And it is, with it comes our responsibility. But anyway, that's my weaving to your ancestors and your
That's great. And we're going to... Right.
We're speaking right now.
Yes. Yes. Woof. Right. The whole team is counting on us. And so the full moon was exactly this morning at 4:26 a.m. West Coast time. But it's all of becoming, right? So that was the full moon, the same one that Kamala was born under, like, whoa, she was, yeah. And now the moon has moved into the sign of its exaltation, Taurus. So it takes all that woofiness within all of us into our dedication to the earth, fundamental dedication to the earth, no matter what. We're voting for the earth. And so I just have one more fun song to play, and then Elaine and I will re-cahoot on the other side of this song. This is Keb Mo and Roseanne Cash, Put a Woman in Charge.
Yeah.
Way back when, in the beginning of time, man made the fire, then the wheel went from a horse to an automobile. He set the world in mind. He took the oceans and the sky. He set the borders, built the walls. Enough is enough.
Thank you, Keb Moe and Roseanne Cash. And this is a full moon. Yes. This is Kamala Harris's full moon under which she was born. This whole chapter of our election started on the full moon of July 21st, 2024, that Octavia Butler wrote about in 1993. Thank you, Octavia. You know, it was a gloomy thing, but it was like, it was that full moon, that was Big Mama, Yamaya, coming in. That was the sun at 29 Cancer, moon at 29 Capricorn, which is the Council of Wise Women dedicated to the next seven generations. And it was really within moments of that exact full moon that Biden handed the baton to Kamala, and she took off running, you know. Then the next full moon was August 19th. That was the Democratic Convention, yes. Yeah. Notable for the absence of Gaza, but otherwise pretty classy. An invitation to the better angels of our nature. Then we had the lunar eclipse, metabolizing poison, and then this full moon right now. This is our rousing anthem, you know. It started, you know, we're electing the earth, we're electing Dame Ragnall, we're electing a chance for life to come through this vortex, right, to metabolize the Inquisition. It won't go away completely, but we got a chance here, right? So that's part of that dynamic. But it's good. It's like dance to that, you know, and think of, you know, everything is us, you know. It's like put a woman in charge, you know, in each one of us, in each one of us, you know, again, regardless of temporary gender assignment, there's, you know, a woman in charge in us. We're electing Dame Ragnall, electing the earth, electing our autonomy, you know, just, and I've been, you know, so there's the people still maybe voting for third party, you know, which is, you know, 6 to 12%, small, but significant. 33% of eligible voters did not vote. And we go, whew. So I'm guiding my different councils, election magic council and, you know, mentoring thing and whatever, to go, all right, use everything. Map magic. Put a map of America, you know, on your altar and sprinkle some red pepper on it and some ginger and some cloves and some motherwort and some wormwood and whatever amuses you, to everybody out, everybody up, everybody participating, going, oh, I, you know, it's a tide, you know, it's like, it's the Zion train, you know, right, not begrudging, it's like, no, we're enthused and unashamed of enthusiasm, and we handle the necessary miracle of Biden beforehand, you know, again, we're not expecting, we're not expecting, but we're willing. Jonas says, just be willing. Jonas, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, has no category about success, fail, just try stuff, put your map out, right, you know, just in whatever the thing is, and guiding everyone to make your own ballot, you know, draw it, you know, what we're really electing, what is deep in everyone's heart, you know, and then what I've done in the last two election magic councils is then everybody takes their beautiful ballot and takes it out into nature to some tree, some river, some rock that you love, and you leave it there. Right. This is yeah. tradition, right? So we're voting for the earth, you know, and what yeah. however you want to creatively express that. Yeah. So
yeah,
there we go.
Exactly. Can I just mention just one thing real quick?
Yeah.
And that is for those folks who have often said to me, you know what, I it's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of the unknown. And I said, no, actually, we do not fear the unknown. What we fear is the known repeating itself. So you already have an example of what is one choice. Choose the unknown. It's 50% chance it'll be better.
Yeah, try that, right? I mean, you want to say, try that? Nope, try that? Nope, try that, yeah. And
right?
And it's
exactly.
it's so strong now that, you know, when you try the right thing, you're going to feel a little like, woo, a little response
yeah.
coming back from the big yeah. mama going, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Keep doing
yeah,
that one.
A lot of people on this planet need to understand, for those folks who have felt for so long, they didn't have that. You have energy everywhere that's telling you, we are here. When you talk about, we have the choir of drummers, we have choirs of, we have all help helping us. We're not alone doing this. This is what's supposed to be happening. Put on the altar of done. Enough is enough is enough. Mm. And it's not to say it was not relevant at the time. Maybe it was. And it's not to say that we didn't gain something from it. But today, we vote for a path of sovereignty, liberation from an old paradigm of fear. And we vote for an opportunity to build a world out of love and compassion and kindness. We all deserve that.
And we're done with war. We're done with this superstitious done. Blood sacrifice that distracts us from the complexity of the real work now, which is for humans to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius to restore equilibrium to our planet on behalf of flora, fauna, fungi. You know, that's the deal. And I love, you know, somebody said the obvious thing and then wait for it, the cool thing. He goes, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. Those who suppress the teaching of history intend to repeat it. We go, all
ooh.
Right, okay.
Ooh,
yeah, that's a good one.
Ooh, good,
it's a good one. Right, no, that's right.
A good
we
one.
Want, everything, vote for what we're, I mean, put on your ballot. You know, we're voting for real history, real education. You spoke eloquently last week about the karma of America. Yeah, right. And we are just insisting this tidal wave, you know, as friends actually spoke to Obama, who apologized for being a little late on gay rights and everything, and said, the politicians are the sail, we are the wind.
Ooh, yeah.
We're the guiding wind. You know, we're done
yeah.
with war. We can't afford this
yeah.
this superstitious, primitive, revolting, cruel. You know, and dream big, play fair. You know, let's put cruelty, you know, and tyranny into the cauldron of oblivion, so it's no longer available in the human repertoire. Let's go. Let's see this. There's cooperators are standing by. It's like, you know, let's experiment with the big ideal. And put all of this on everybody's altars. I'm putting my altar together now with the Statue of Freedom and the cornmeal connecting the Georgia State Capitol Statue of Freedom with the U.S. Capitol
uh-huh.
Statue of Freedom, going humming in everyone's hearts. You know, and then, yeah, absolutely.
May we be the one.
that's right. So we're electing ourselves, you know, again. Because last week you'd also said, you know, restore the divinity in humanity, you know, and you'd said that your acronym PEACE is people empowering change for everyone. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. And so if we're envisioning the world that you spoke of earlier in these practical ways, that's what we're doing. We are people collectively empowering a change for everyone. We can't expect it to be one person. We are the people
no.
creating the world we want to live in. It's done, leaving it up to just one. It's done. It's up to us. It was given to us.
And we plight our troth to pledge our moral support to anyone. Well, anyone, say, elected, you know, so it's like,
yeah.
right. And again, to
that's
keep,
the team
you know,
captain.
No, this is... Yeah, well, team captain, but this is what we're doing. Remember, this is the backstage contract, you know, eliminating all war, you know, resolution of the thing. Here we go, Joe Biden. The portals are open. Swoosh, swoosh. It's like with the with the dog whisperer, much of whom I love. He goes, you don't say no to a dog because nobody likes the word no. You go, hey, you disrupt the trance. And then you go, over here. There you go. Correct. Who's a good Biden? Who's a good Biden? Yes, you are over here. This is where it's moving. This is where it's moving.
Yep,
there you go. Yep. And again, we set the thing. This is what's happening. This is the tide. Yeah. This is where we're going. This is the unified vision that unites all of us from our petty bickering, you know, to like, all right, let's go. You know, again, enthusiasm is, you know, for the longest time, you know, anything positive, people would go, well, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be enthusiastic. It's like, we do know what you know. We just have enthusiasm as well as knowledge. Come on, team. So there we go. All right. Yeah. All too soon. We're drawing to a close. If there's a last 30-second woof you want to say, Elaine, Mayumi, Whitefeather, here you go. There's if you want to say any last thing.
Real quick. Own your sovereignty. Own it with your voice and your vote.
Yes. Yes. Woof, woof. Thank you, team, so much. Thank you, Kirsten Thomas, always great board up. Yeah, we're all a team. We're all a team. Befoibled. Befoibled, all of us. And you can go to coyotenetworknews.com for more information and also Visionary Activist Show Patreon for backstage notes and all kinds of cool stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Elaine, Mayumi, Whitefeather.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, yeah, Dan.